There was another matter, which is, well, actually, another thing that happened at that particular meeting. There was a city manager report about from the community development department, and really probably from the housing department, which has been spun off from CDD, about sort of city council housing priorities and things like that. And I do always find that a little bit interesting because I generally don't agree with the prioritizations that the city has in this regard. But it always brings up the sort of the possibility that the city wants to add on, in addition to inclusionary zoning, just general the multifamily housing zoning, which is just encouraging density and more density. So the latest little buzz phrase is social housing. And again, I suppose you can kind of nitpick and come up with reasons why social housing is different than other forms of public housing and what have you. But ultimately, it's still all about remove, at least the priority or the goal seems to be to separate out as much of the housing stock from private property ownership as humanly possible. And that's a policy I don't agree with. I actually think private property ownership is a good thing. But they always treat it as a bad thing. And so you have to have 100% affordable housing in perpetuity, so that it will never, ever, ever be anything other than government owned or government controlled. And again, I absolutely believe there's an appropriate amount of publicly funded housing that should always be. I mean, senior citizens who didn't plan well, who need to not be out on the street, we absolutely should be taking care of everybody here. But, this sort of singular focus on decommodifying housing and making it completely separate, so that everything is out of private ownership is to me a kind of a wrongheaded approach. And I sometimes fear that that's quietly what the city's policy really is. Maybe sometimes not so quietly, Anyway, the current head of the housing department during the Envision process came flat out and expressed his personal point of view that private property ownership, even if it's held by a person like myself who's never overcharged rent or anything, that sooner or later it's going to go into the hands of an evil capital. He didn't use these words exactly. And then the rents are going to go sky high. And therefore, we have to do everything we can to wrest control of as much property as we can so that that can never happen. And I just think that's completely wrongheaded. But again, that's my own personal point of view about these things. Another thing that came up actually didn't come up that much. I believe it came up in February. But it's, oh, I should mention that there was another thing at that meeting relating to housing where the city manager has had put forward a plan to which pre under the previous charter the manager could just do, which was to consolidate all housing related services under a single agency. I mean, right now, I mean, if you were a city councilor and somebody says, "Oh, I'm desperate, I'm in need of housing," so city councilor like Denise Simmons would say, "Well, you could go talk to the housing authority, you can go talk to the community development department, you can go talk to Just a Start, you can go talk to this, you can do this or that, we'll go to the multi-service center," and all those options still exist. Or you can talk to Maura Penzack, who's the housing liaison, who's working, has been working largely out of the city manager's office. So apparently they want to consolidate this into a unified housing department, I guess the housing department, right, which is under Chris Cotter and is so that really it'd be like a one-stop shopping. And I hope that works out. Apparently the city council at a subsequent meeting I think it was actually at this March 9th meeting, did say, gave the thumbs up to the city manager and said, "Yes, if you want to do that form of reorganization, we're good with that." And it doesn't sound like a bad idea. Anyway, that's one thing that did happen at that meeting. But another matter, which I don't know because I actually haven't re watched the recording of the March 9th meeting, But it was a holdover from the previous meeting, which was a proposal, or maybe even the meeting before that. It was a proposal from several city councilors to, including Kathy Zusi and Patty Nolan, and I believe Sabrina Wheeler. Could be somebody else in there, I don't remember. To change the fee structure for the resident per parking permit program, permit parking program, right? And right now, I mean, I remember when it was, what was it, like $5 or something like that, or maybe it was less even, but whatever it was, eventually it had sort of worked its way up to $25, right? Now, in my view, these are more in the nature of nuisance fees than anything else. $25 isn't going to break me, but $25 per year to get your resident sticker, and then you can park on the street, not just in your neighborhood, but really anywhere in Cambridge, which is fundamentally different than the way they do it in Boston, because there the resident permit is neighborhood by neighborhood. So if you've got a Beacon Hill sticker, you can't necessarily go down to Hyde Park and park in resident permit parking, right? But then again, Boston is a much bigger place than Cambridge, right? So maybe it wouldn't make sense to sort of balkanize Cambridge into little districts anyway. And I think it would be a terrible idea if they would even consider something like that. But anyway, the proposal this time around was to take what is currently a $25 fee and triple it. Jack it up to $75, and then you get the Sabrina Wheelers of this world, and quite honestly, also the Patricia Nolans of this world, who will say, "Well, you're lucky we're only charging you that than only 75, because don't you know if you had to go do private parking elsewhere here, it would cost you, hundreds of dollars per month and whatever." And I think this is a complete nonsensical comparison. I mean, Cambridge developed in a particular way. Some parts of it, including locally around where I am, were kind of what you might call streetcar suburbs back a long, long time ago. Once upon a time, there were municipal garages or privately owned garages around here where if you wanted to park your horse off the street, or your motor car, off the street. There were options for doing that, but slowly but surely, when they allowed, overnight parking on the street all year round, the slowly but surely those various garages, like up at Ellery Street around the corner from me on West Street. These garages all got turned into condo developments. So those garage facilities went away. They went away because the city had a policy that says park on the street. We're good with that. And then eventually it became a resident permit parking structure, and that's how it's been ever since. So it's kind of an ultimate bait and switch. You sort of say, okay, fine, you can park on the street, decades ago. And meanwhile, we're going to take away all of the parking structures. And then a couple of years ago, they even in new developments said we're not going to even require any parking at all, right? And now they're saying, okay, now that you're forced to park on the street, now we got you. So now we're going to start jacking it up. And again, and some of these city councils really think that the fee should be not $75, but $1,000 or $300. I've heard a lot of other numbers floated. I just think this is idiocy. But again, I've kind of come to expect it from some of these clowns. So anyway, in addition to that, there was a perfectly reasonable proposal, this part of that proposal, that said that would basically give you the number of vehicles a person could have that would be eligible for a sticker would be. Right now, I don't think I think you can have up to four, so they want to reduce that to two, which could be a little bit of a problem if you have a large family. But I think it's supposed to be per individual. But maybe if one person owned multiple cars and they had multiple children of age living at home, Maybe anyway, the city ought to have kind of an exemption process where if you really, really need the extra, you do it. But anyway, most people seem to be okay with dropping the allowed number of vehicles from 4 to 2. I think that would be fine. And I think it's per person, not per household, by the way. So it seems pretty lenient anyway. But the thing that became quite controversial and something I do not agree with is that right now, when you reach a certain age, I think it's 65, you don't have to pay the fee anymore at all. You're exempt when you cross a certain age. Now, this has led to some of the most hysterical rhetoric. Where it seems to be the case that many people in our Cambridge political class are of the belief that anybody who's over 65 is a baby boomer who lives on Avon Hill. They are extraordinarily wealthy. Furthermore, they're politically liberal, so they would be very happy to pay $75 along with anyone else. So the proposal was to eliminate the senior exemption entirely, so that instead of paying not 25 or zero, it would suddenly have to pay $75. Of course, then they say, well, we'll give you a little checkbox. So if you're low income, you don't have to prove anything. Just check the box and then we'll take you at your word. Then you don't have to pay. Then you could just pay the 25. Right? That seems to be the proposal. Now, all of these changes were apparently being justified by some city councilors based on what I consider to be nonsense math that came out of our Department of Congestion, Obstruction, and Aggravation, also known as the Transportation Department, that somehow the resident permit parking program itself, in terms of staff, material support, and whatever, somehow costs 3-point-something million dollars to operate, and that translates into, by their numbers, somewhere in the vicinity of $75 per person per vehicle. So that really, don't you know, all we're really doing is recovering our costs so that we're not losing money on it. Now, I think as John Pitkin pointed out at last night's city council meeting, and said, this somehow Boston doesn't have a need to do this at that cost. And most significantly, he mentioned, in addition to some very interesting historical facts about the money raised from this program, just happened to mention that when you register a motor vehicle, which is arguably a more complicated matter in Massachusetts, at the state, at the Registry of Motor Vehicles, you have to pay a registration fee, which is $50 every 2 years. And you get a sticker that you put on your license plate, right? So, in other words, that's $25 a year for a state for a much broader program. A lot more complication, a lot more enforcement, etc. And by the way, hint, hint, city has access to that complete Registry of Motor Vehicles database. So how on earth is this notion that it should be $75 per person based on cost? How is this justified? It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Now, we were, I think, denied a certain treat last night because two city councilors were apparently, Zuzi and Nolan, were at a National League of Cities meeting last night, so they were absent from the city council meeting. See, the two of the chief sponsors of this nonsense. But maybe some of the city staff didn't know that they were going to be absent. So I saw some of the top brass from our transportation department were at the meeting already to, I'm sure they were loaded for bear with all sorts of jacked up figures trying to justify the costs here. Because really, our current transportation department really, I mean, you notice rather appropriately, they removed any reference to traffic or parking or, God forbid, a motor vehicle when they renamed their department. They just excised it away because, in my opinion, our transportation department is on a mission to absolutely make driving a motor vehicle in Cambridge as close to impossible as they possibly can. They're totally hostile to the concept of a motor vehicle. So, sure, They want to basically jack up the fees to make things as high as possible so that a few more people, not that many, let's face it. I mean, if you need a car, you need a car. That jump from 25 to 75 is not going to drive you away from owning a car, or at least unless you're relatively poor, in which case, well, you don't have to pay it anyway, right? So, anyway, I think they were disappointed. They were all ready to sort of make their case and didn't happen. So it's still sitting on the agenda. So I think there's a meeting next week, which I guess would be March 23rd, unless I missed something. Maybe it'll come up then. We'll see. It was very interesting. You hear some of the elderly people who were not wealthy baby boomers from Avon Hill, who are people living in places like Manning Apartments coming up to City Hall the previous week or 2 weeks earlier, basically saying, why are you doing this to us? Anyway, we'll see. There was a day, I guarantee you, because I remember I was there, that if somebody came forth with a proposal like this to just get rid of the senior exemptions and triple the fee, there would be a 9-0 vote in opposition, or maybe 8-1, with the only one vote being the person who proposed it. So something has changed here, and I don't think it's a change for the better. Now, another thing which I found very interesting, and kind of funny actually, was at the March 2nd City Council meeting. Well, let me just say one thing that they passed this Home Rule petition, an amended version of a Home Rule petition, calling for there to be a real estate transfer fee on all the sale of all real estate over and above, I think it was a million, at least $1 million or something. Now they say, well, this is primarily so that they can recapture money from every transaction, for every commercial transaction, but this also applies to residential sales. So, if you've got the family home and you have to sell it because maybe somebody has passed away and now the kids want to, get the assets. Not only will you have to pay this, well, first off, this is a home rule petition, goes to the state legislature. My own sense is that it's not going anywhere, but who knows, right? But if it were to pass, then the city council would impose a certain tax, which they cannot do without state approval, on the sale. But that would be in addition to what's already what they call the stamp tax. Right, so there's already a state fee. It's not a small amount. Whenever you do a transfer for tax, I remember when they passed Obamacare, when there's real estate transactions like this on the sale of a first home or whatever, you got to pay tax for that. There's presumably, if you sell a property in Cambridge, it's probably going to be worth more than $1 million. So any income that comes in the year of the sale, it would then be subject to the so-called millionaire's tax that was passed a couple of years ago. So you would basically have this tax, you'd have a state tax, millionaire's tax. God help us, we're not California, they're not talking about a wealth tax, which I think they're all some of like Mamdani and his characters are talking about New York City, where, suddenly if somebody said you decided you've got a certain amount of money, well, we're going to hit you for that. So anyway, I just think it was a terrible idea, but they did pass that. But the funny part was this. So there was a city council order, very elaborate, very wordy order, basically calling on the city administration to no longer post any information at all having to do with city announcements, anything, on Twitter, aka X. And of course, the city council order lays it all out in detail because it's basically owned by Elon Musk, who they flat out call a white supremacist and everything else here, and because some city councilors don't like Elon Musk, which I can understand, they don't like what some of these social media outlets have become, which I also understand because a lot of it is very polluted, but they're all polluted, that somehow the city should just stop. So anyway, this ended up with maybe some little amendment here or there, ended up passing unanimously. And now the city has been going through this process. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. The notion that somehow the city should, and they've been doing these announcements now where the city is no longer putting announcements on Twitter, but they're doing it on Blue Sky. Blue Sky, by the way, has blue in it. Why was that created? That was created because we hate Musk, and blue as in the blue states versus the red states. At least that's my understanding. Hope correct me if I'm wrong here. So, and what happened when Elon Musk took over Twitter is a lot of people says, "I'm out of here. I'm done," and so they moved to other platforms like I think what's called Mastodon, and or they started using Reddit or what have you. And then Blue Sky became sort of this popular one. So I've always looked upon it sort of like if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. And you go to Blue Sky and you abandon X, right? And yeah, sure, Cambridge is probably is I don't know if it's a majority Democrat or if it's a majority independent, whatever, but it's not too many Republicans here. So now officially Cambridge is moving to Blue Sky, which is sort of weird to me, especially when you look at the fact that they're at the numbers, which said that the police department and the fire department, they had number of followers who are getting announcements, including me, about if there's a fire event happening or if there's some emergency situation, you would find out about it through Twitter or Facebook, right? Well, I mean, during the discussion at the city council meeting, they even talked about getting off Facebook because don't you know, it's another billionaire, an evil billionaire, owns Facebook. And I thought, this is absurd. Basically, we're in a situation now where, because your personal politics as an elected official should somehow override the general public's desire to get information. You shall only get information from those sources that we approve of because of our personal political persuasion. All right? So is Blue Sky somehow the answer to everybody's prayers? I don't think so. I've occasionally have use of go to Reddit to find out how to, repair something because sometimes you can find some expert there. But I've actually seen some of the most polluted, evil discussions in Reddit that I've ever seen anywhere. The truth is that sort of like the old days, Usenet used to be, before there was even full-blown internet. Well, I guess it was internet, but it wasn't like pre-Facebook. People used to use what he's called news groups, and they all get polluted in time. It's just a fact, is that every, Nextdoor Cambridge, when that started, Nextdoor in general, or it was started out, it was, oh, this is a nice way for neighbors to exchange information and help each other out. But now there's political meanness polluting next door Cambridge and next door everything, just like anything else. It's a natural progression. The bad drive out the good. It's always going to happen. So to some degree, it's happened with Twitter X. To some degree, it's happened with Facebook. And with artificial intelligence, there's a tremendous amount of fakery on all of these social media outlets. But for Cambridge City Council just to decide that you shall, from this point on, you shall only learn information from the sources that we approve of. To me, this is going down a road I just don't think we ought to be going down. But that's where they want to be, And the rhetoric was quite stunning to listen to, and including some council, even the mayor, who just they wanted to rather sanctimoniously declare how long ago they quit Twitter or they quit Facebook. I said, well, good for you, But when I checked, there were like tens of thousands of Cambridge residents who were followers of City of Cambridge's Twitter account and the fire department account because they wanted to know. So, sorry. You can't get that information here anymore. I saw a press release that apparently the GIS information, data stuff that the city provides, now it's on Blue Sky. So they're gradually moving everything to Blue Sky. I just think it's ridiculous. To me, if you are if you're a city, if you're a city, state, or whatever, you should be putting out information in every way possible. Just do it. Just put it out, you know. And if you want to reach everybody, and if a person is perfectly okay with Twitter, or Facebook, fine. What's the problem? Why it should be like same announcement goes out on all the platforms, right? Or as many as you feel like doing, you know, on any given day. You don't necessarily want to hit all of them. Anyway, I just found that to be more funny than anything else. And the fact that it ended up with 9-0 city council was in support of this, just I have no explanation for this. This was just ridiculous. So, well, anyway, one other thing, maybe I'll just sort of start winding down here with a little bit here, saying that in addition to we'll soon see some rezoning proposals for Central Square and perhaps a larger portion of Mass Ave, I was very intrigued to see that kind of indirectly noted there was that the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority apparently had undertaken some sort of process where they were going to involve themselves in Central Square, which, by the way, they already did. I think it was 99 Bishop Allen Drive was a place where there were a lot of nonprofits were housed in that building, and then the building was kind of coming undone. So I think whoever the previous owner was, they were going to basically kick people out so they can fix up the building. And then Cambridge Redevelopment Authority ended up stepping in, taking over the property, and so those entities are. They were able to relocate back into the renovated building. So no longer is the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority focusing itself entirely on Kendall Square. It's kind of gone back to before that, those days when Redevelopment Authority involved itself with projects like, they don't like to mention it too much, but the Riverview condominiums, the ones that are being torn, just got finished torn down. That was facilitated by the Redevelopment Authority 50 years ago. But they also did housing development in the Wellington Harrington neighborhood. But certainly, for as long as a lot of people remember, it's always been Kendall Square, and more Kendall Square, right? But now, you know, when they revitalized the Redevelopment Authority and Bob Healey reappointed five fresh new faces to the board, you know, they've been taking a look at other things as well. So they're looking at Central Square. Now, it was kind of a strange thing to see, though, because I said, well, what do they do? What do they want to do? So they had a bit of a dog and pony show that they did at what they call the Street Theory Collective, which is the old Revolutionary Clinics, which is the old Blockbuster Video, I guess it used to be. And they sort of said, well, you know, we're really interested in this and that, but it was all so vague. You couldn't get any sense about what they really wanted to do. So is it they're going to help do some renovation of some buildings like the dance complex is? Are they trying to play a larger role in terms of the promotion of the arts? I couldn't even tell. And it was interesting that the Central Square Advisory Committee was not even listed as an interested party. So I brought that up to city staff and they. So we actually had the Redevelopment Authority come in for us a week ago, you know, and had an opportunity to ask them some questions, you know, and I welcome them. You know, one of the nice things about having the Redevelopment Authority do things as opposed to doing everything through the city is that they can act much more quickly. So they're actually anticipating having a basic plan like within a month for things that they do. So, you know, as opposed to if the city was doing it all, we'd have to wait a year and a half or something like that. So I'm hopeful that the Redevelopment Authority can be a partner with the rest of us who all want to see good things happen in Central Square, which, you know, could use a little love still in a lot of vacancies in Central Square right now. And anyway, we'll see where it's going. Anyway, I think that's probably enough for this edition of Cambridge Inside Out. So anyway, I'll take my leave here right now. So anyway, hope to see you all sometime in the near future here on Cambridge Inside Out.